I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Every time we say the Rosary, we say the Apostles' Creed, we pray this prayer. I believe in the communion of saints. And we say it very often, but do we know exactly what we mean when we say, I believe in the communion of saints? The Council of Trent teaches, quote, "The communion of saints is the union of all the faithful, whether living or dead, who are members of Christ's mystical body." It is the union of all the faithful, whether living or dead, who are members of Christ's mystical body. And so just like our physical bodies have different members, different parts that make it up, so also the church has different members who all together make up what we call the mystical body of Christ. Pope Pius XII, in his 1943 encyclical Mystici Corporis Christi, says, quote, "Therefore, the mystical body of Christ, which is the church, is neither a physical body nor merely a moral body, but a supernatural body." So when we say the mystical body of Christ, we mean the church. So in the church, there exist three states of being. Okay, what does that mean, three states of being? Well, if you remember your days of science class when you were younger, we know that water can be in three different states of matter, right? It can be water in a cup as liquid. It can be frozen into a block of ice and take the shape of a solid, take a solid matter, a solid form. Or you can boil water and create steam, and that water then becomes a gas. So it's all water, but it exists in different states of matter. And it's sort of the same in the church. The members of Christ's mystical body, the members of the Catholic Church, can exist in three states. The first is in heaven. We call these the church triumphant, right? They triumphed over the trials and the temptations of this life. They persevere to the end, and they now are rewarded by that perseverance by the intuitive vision of God. So the church triumphant, they intercede for us with God. They pray for us. Next, there's us. All the members of the church on earth, all the living, breathing members of Christ's body on this planet. And we are what is called the church militant. So someone who joins the military, their occupation is to fight for their country. So in the same sense, we're the church militant because our job is to fight for our salvation on this earth. And finally, there's what we call the church suffering. And those are the souls in purgatory. And we know that November is the month dedicated to the holy souls. And the church, having compassion on their suffering, dedicates a whole month to impress upon us our need of being their intercessors. The Council of Trent again teaches, quote, "Since the Catholic Church, instructed by the Holy Ghost, has from the sacred writings and the ancient traditions of the fathers taught there is a purgatory, and that the souls there detained are helped by the suffrages of the faithful, but principally by the acceptable sacrifice of the altar," end quote. Okay, so what is purgatory? When we think of the word purgation, that means a cleansing. In a legal term, it means to acquit oneself of an accusation. But it means to cleanse someone or something, to purgate, purgation. So purgatory is a place of cleansing, a cleansing of the soul. Now, it's interesting. We say it's the month of the holy souls, the holy souls. Well, if they're so holy, why aren't they in heaven? Well, when we say holy souls, we mean those who've died in the state of grace, but have what we call temporal punishment due to their sins. The best way to explain temporal punishment is how one priest explained it to me when I first joined a seminary, in a sermon that he gave, and I thought, okay, it's pretty simple, it's to the point, and it sticks. So if you have a young man playing baseball with his friends, And the pitcher throws the ball, and he whacks the baseball straight through a neighbor's window. What's he do? Well, if he's upright, he goes over, he apologizes. "I'm very sorry I broke your window." And if the old man is a kind old man, he goes, and merciful, he goes, "I accept your apology and I forgive you for breaking my window." Now, the little boy is sorry that he did it. The elderly gentleman has accepted his apology. He has forgiven him. But guess what? The window's still broken. The boy's apology nor the old man accepting that apology and forgiving him has fixed the broken window. So in the same way, when we sin, when we offend God, he forgives us if we're truly sorry, we had that firm purpose of amendment, but there is still a debt rendered. We've incurred a debt that needs to be paid, and we call that the temporal punishment due to sin. But of course, the church has given us a way out of this temporal punishment in the form of indulgences. We know that the greatest treasure of the church is the infinite merits of Christ. All the merits that Christ earned for us when he suffered on the cross are of infinite value. They are inexhaustible. And that is the treasury of the church, those graces, those merits of Christ. And she gives that to us freely in the form of indulgences, which are very easy to gain. For instance, if you go through the Rakulti, you'll find many prayers where if you say it once a day, and within 7 days of saying that prayer, you receive the sacrament of penance, and make a visit to a church, or receive Holy Communion, or whatever the condition is for that indulgence, all the temporal punishment due to your sins is remitted. So all your purgatory time goes away. You make the Stations of the Cross. The Stations of the Cross are a plenary indulgence. Every time we make them, you can make that as many times in a day as you wish. So the church, understanding our weakness, that we sin a lot, that we do silly things, knows that we're probably going to accrue a lot of this temporal punishment. And so from the infinite merits of Christ on the cross, she gives us a way out of purgatory before we even ever have to go there. So we might think to ourselves, well, that seems kind of severe. God seems kind of severe. If I'm sorry for my sins, why is it that there has to be this debt that I have to pay? So why is that if he's forgiven me? Well, I'd like to use the example of a bride on her wedding day. If a bride on a wedding day, she wears a pure white dress, right? And let's say that she's getting ready to walk into the church, and she's got her dad's got her by the arm, and they're getting ready to walk down the aisle, and then she looks down and notices a stain on her wedding dress. I mean, the magnitude of the occasion, her wedding day, and the beauty of her dress and how white it is, that stain stands out. It's screaming. It's the same thing with our souls. God is so pure, he is so perfect, infinite in his perfections, that the slightest imperfection on our part, they said that if a soul were to have even a very slight imperfection on it and go to heaven, it could not bear to be in God's presence. Because just like the bride on her wedding day with the stain on her dress, how she would notice that, and everyone would notice that stain on her dress as she walks up the aisle. So that soul would be cognizant of its imperfection before God and would fly from before his face. He would not even want to be around God until he was purified of that stain, that imperfection. The just in heaven intercede for us. They pray for us. We on earth pray for each other. We have masses offered for people we love. We pray for people we love. The holy souls only have us to help them during this month of November. And it's interesting that we cannot gain an indulgence for another living person. I cannot gain an indulgence for anyone in this church, and no one in this church can gain an indulgence for me as long as we both walk this earth. But we can gain plenary indulgences by the totius quotius. And by the way, that just means in Latin, basically the translation is as much as you like, as many times as you want. You can get into plenary indulgence for a soul in purgatory. You can take that soul in purgatory and send them to heaven. You can get them out of purgatory. You can remit that temporal punishment. You can take the stain off the dress if you so desire. So why is that such a big deal? Well, the pains of purgatory, some theologians liken them to the pains of hell, that it's it's beyond intense, beyond what we could imagine what they go through to be purified in the next life. But also, we know that soul, once that soul goes to purgatory, its only desire is to fly and be with God. And to be away, to be out of his presence, to have to wait to be purified is like a total torture to that soul, because it wants so much to go to heaven and be with God. So I really encourage all of us to take advantage of the totius quotias, that is, make sure I give you the right numbers and not responsible for people thinking they're praying the right prayers and they're praying the wrong prayers. Six Our Father, six Hail Marys, six Glory Bes for the intentions of the church may gain a plenary indulgence applicable to one of the souls in purgatory. So you walk into the church, six Our Father, six Hail Marys, six Glory Bes for the intentions of the church, you walk out of the church, and you can come back in. You can do that as many times as you like, freeing those souls from purgatory. So the souls in purgatory suffer greatly. It's beyond our imagination to comprehend how much they suffer. And of course, as we've heard so many stories, for those who have appeared to loved ones or appeared to people they knew, that we are so much by our standard measurement of time in this life that eternity is far different. So what might seem for us a very short period of time might be an eternity, what has for them elapsed to be years, hundreds of years. We know at Fatima, Our Lady lamented that one of, I think, Jacinta's friends would have been in purgatory till the end of time, till the second coming and the general judgment. And she lived in 1917 Portugal, so how bad were the kids back then? I don't know, but it couldn't be as bad as kids now, right? So I'd just like to end with a story, an analogy, to help kind of drive this point home. And it's kind of mundane, but I think it gets the job done. When I was younger, I had the privilege to be taught by Catholic sisters at one of our private schools. And sometimes I required an attitude adjustment. The sisters would not permit me to go to recess for the first 10 minutes. Sometimes that would happen. So a 20-minute recess period, and I couldn't go for the first 10 minutes. And boy, that was a living hell for me, because recess was like my beatific vision. That was my greatest happiness in school. And so it's funny, because just like the souls of purgatory, that 10 minutes probably wasn't that long. It's just 10 minutes. But when I was younger, it felt like an eternity waiting. And I could hear the kids out. I could see the kids outside running around the playground, having fun, laughing. And here I was stuck inside. So I use that analogy to be like the souls in purgatory, wanting so much their desire to be with God, and to be separated from him is such a torture. And if we can help that soul get to heaven faster, if we can get them out of purgatory, not only have we rendered that person a great service, a great act of charity, but also when that person gets to heaven, they're going to pray and intercede for us for the rest of our lives, because we were the catalyst who got them out of purgatory, who got them to the bliss of heaven. So let us take full advantage of the totius quotias. Let us remember that also, the best way to remember the dead is to pray for them. So the best way to recall their memory to mind, you know, people die and we promise that person will never forget them. Well, the best way to do that is to pray for that person every day. So let us, my dear faithful, during this month of November, the month of the Holy Souls, pray for them, offer up prayers and sacrifices for them, have masses offered for them, so that through our intercession, they may be loosed from the pains, their sufferings of purgatory, and that we may find ourselves with intercessors in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.